everyone, welcome to the 18th Manx 40 pod of the 2019-20 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Peel's Becky Corkish and Corinthians Pair Jay Burden and Lisa Castain. Guys, welcome to Podcast Towers. Becky, welcome in for the first time.
Thank you.
Jade, Lisa, you're veterans at this now. I'm expecting good stuff from you two today.
We'll try our best.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, because we've obviously, Sunday is the 21st Footlick Cup, Dave.
How is it? The 21st already? Wow.
You were just a twinkle in your mum and dad's eye when the Footlick Cup was conceived, I'm going to say. But that's probably not the right terminology. But that's on Sunday afternoon at the bowl. We've got the girls in to discuss that. First time we've had opposing teams in before.
I know, it's interesting. We're hoping for a bit of rivalry going on here.
Yeah. I've noticed how the Corinthians girls have outflanked Becky here. So if it gets a bit tasty, I'm sending you in.
All right, yeah.
Right, before that, though, it's time for biscuits. Now, guys, I went over to the garage because that's where it sells the best biscuits, isn't it?
There you go. All the shops are
on. I've bought these ginger crunch creams, which seem to be like a mash-up. That's what the kids call it, isn't it? Between a ginger biscuit and a custard cream.
Interesting.
Now, I have tasted one just to make sure they were all right.
My best because.
You try
absolutely. Biscuit fiend.
Have you seen these about?
No.
The green packet doesn't really sell it to me, does it?
Not really.
Dave, you haven't one?
I'll
give it a go, yeah.
Corky's a bit mad that it's not a carvery.
Yeah. I was going to be a full roaster, yeah. That's why I said yeah.
Maybe next season we could do that. Dave, you could get your little chef's hat on. Do a bit of a carvery.
It's alright. We get Johnny McDowell over from Thingy. Douglas Golf Club.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Let's do that.
Yeah. So we'll talk. We'll put a pin in that for now. The carveries. What are we thinking about the biscuits, though? It's a bit. They're very crunchy. Very sweet, aren't they? Yeah, I'm not sure. Just a 6 out of 10 for me.
Not even that.
Jay's not happy.
Four. No, they're all right. I'd give them a 7.
Oh, at least there you go.
No, definitely not. 6.5.
Your body is a temple and all that, isn't it? Right, let's kick off then. We'll talk about the football. Becky, we'll start with you. Obviously, Peel made it into the final in exciting fashion last week. It was 3-3.
It was a very stressful game to watch anyway. they did really well, to be honest. It's one of them things with Royals. It's always either one way or the other that either Royals take the lead and we come back or vice versa. And it was just, it was a very stressful game to watch.
So the mood must be good in the camp then. Obviously a final to look forward to. You want to be taking that momentum into Sunday's game?
Absolutely, definitely. The girls, they're really excited to obviously go in. They're just hoping that the weather stays like on our side really so it can be played. But I think they're all in good spirits after the game and looking forward to training tonight, actually.
Full strength, or you're not going to reveal anything in front of
the
opposition?
Don't think I want to reveal any tactics in front of
them. I think we know it all anyway.
I mean, it doesn't change
it's not
everything.
Like it's really a massive selection.
But so it should be a good game on Sunday. And we're going to talk about I think you only played each other a couple of weeks ago. We'll talk about that shortly, but Jade, you're going to go into this as holders on Sunday. A bit of added pressure. You probably go into it as slight favourites. I think this will be 3 times in a row if you win on Sunday. I don't think that's been done before. No. Is that a bit of added pressure for you guys, or is it just another game?
To be honest with you, it's probably not that much added pressure because right from the game we've got like a bit of a small squad. So
was it 8 you had out on Sunday?
Yeah, we had like 10. I think it was we had 10 on Sunday, was it?
No,
9 on Sunday, and then we had 8. We played a 3-3-1 against Old Boys.
But do you know what? From the beginning of the season, all I've said to the girls when having a small squad is just the main thing: just go out and enjoy it and play the football, and obviously go out there, put 110% in, help one another, you know, and try and make it easy for one another, you know, rather than just like booting the ball or play the ball to people's feet, you know, plenty of talking. And I think like these past few weeks, it has been hard. Everyone's kind of like come together. Just with that togetherness, the football's been brilliant, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been good, especially against Laxey the other day. That was one of the best games we played.
So, do you know what? Like, regardless of, you know, Sunday in the final, like, I think as long as the girls go in and enjoy it, you know, then I think we'll be successful.
And we have some sort of players coming out of the woodwork this week because there's a chance of a medal, or is it...
We're actually down some players as well.
Skiing season, isn't it?
Skiing season. Lost our left back, Lauren, she's out skiing.
And our pocket rocket, Lynette.
Pocket rocket, she's also on the same trip. So we might scratch 11.
Right. Okay, is this your chance to plead for some players that are ready or floating around?
Yeah, to be honest.
Yeah.
Put it out there if anyone wants to join. We need you.
Does that give you extra confidence, Becky? I mean, hearing that, does that give you that added impetus?
No, not really. It's one of them things. But to be honest, it's one of them things that I think teams perform sometimes better when they don't have the pressure under them, and if they like go out saying, do you know what, regardless of the score, we've managed to field a team and let's go out and enjoy it. I think people would be surprised at how much teams can actually pull it back.
Yeah.
But, no, I think Corinthians, every one of Corinthians' players can all play football at a good standard, and if not above. So I don't think it matters how many they have. I think they'll always put up a good fight.
Yeah. And as Andy alluded to, you guys only met a few weeks ago, wasn't it? And it was 3-3.
That was a tough game. Yeah,
it was not nice.
I mean, they went ahead and they were dominant for most of the game, and it's like the last 20 minutes, maybe.
Did they go 3-0?
Yeah, it was 3-0 just after half time. They 3-0 and then got a penalty back in the last 20 minutes.
Lisa's theatrics in the box.
A bit of Tom Daly joined the football team.
Listen, you can't go down.
That was a 9.9, that.
Close contact, honestly. But yeah, then a bit Root Wallace, you know. Casey, she's quite good from outside the area.
Yeah.
Two shots and there you go.
Brilliant goals.
Makes it a bit more interesting, doesn't it?
I was going to say, so it's made it a bit more interesting, but have you learned anything from each other from that game? Did you think, all right, they play a certain way? Maybe Jade, and you think, all right, that's, we've got to shut down that person this week? Or is it just a case of, oh, we'll play our own game
We don't really think about the other team too much. It's about what we can do, I think. And as long as we can do our best, then, you know, we can do whatever we want to do. But that just goes to show that even with, like, a weakened side against them, to go down 3-0, just shows our resilience, do you know what I mean? And our belief in one another, so...
We were down to 10 men, just to call women, should I say.
We were down to 3-0 down.
As well, which I think that's what's probably made it more frustrating for Peel, is obviously because we had that lead, and the fact you went down to 10 and managed to score 3 as soon as you lost a player...
Not very good, is it?
No, not at all.
Well, we went with a back three then, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
This is tactical revolutionary here, isn't it?
Yeah.
You must be the fittest team in the league if you're constantly playing with two or three players.
I like it.
I finished each game with cramp, you know. And we only play 70 minutes. Do we have to play 90 minutes in the final?
No, 70.
No, I was giving Ellie G grief for being old, and at the end of it, I was stretching out my
calf,
and she was like, "Who's the pensioner now?"
Well, you might have extra time on Sunday, but we'll mention that at least.
Yeah, don't.
Maybe a chippy tea on Saturday, just to get the salt in the system.
Yeah.
Lisa, but we talk about this, and we've obviously mentioned Royal Peel beating the semi-finals, but the Battle of Fletcher rivalry is one of the dominant storylines within Manx women's football anyway, and this time is a bit of an added thing, because if you win on Saturday, this is according to Hattie Stats, it would be the 8th time you've won the Floodlit Cup, and I think that would take you clear of them, because they've won it, so you've both won it 7 at the minute, so that's an added bit of an incentive, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, absolutely. It was only a couple of years ago that Kim Hicklin was going to meet, well, we're the most successful women football club in Manx history. And I was like, see how long that lasted. And we're catching up, Kim.
Yeah, she missed one of the penalties, didn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, let's get that one in. Have you practiced penalties? Because of course it might go.
I don't need to practice.
Very confident, Shaq.
She is, isn't she? Hey?
What about Peel, Becky? Will you be looking at penalties tonight? Maybe
not after the performance that we did on Sunday. I don't think we need to practice, to be honest.
No, you were actually solid on penalties.
Yeah.
Jay, well, the Corinthians having a bit of a penalty shootout in the warm-up, maybe?
Just stick your toe on it. Point for where you want it to go, stick your toe on it.
That's how I take it, but I don't profess to be a footballer.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
Hope for the best.
Something you can do with many things, really. Right, talk about the Women's League, because I had a quick look at the table. I know you've only played about 5 or 6 games in that, but there's only a couple of points between Peel, Corinthians and Douglas Royal in that. Now, Jay, I'll take your opinion first. I'm going to ask you to put your punditry neck on the line. Who do you think is going to come out at the top at the end of the season in that one?
Yeah. Not being biased or anything. I'd say probably. If you looked at squads, I'd say probably Peel as a whole, because obviously, like, I looked on there. On the Alan FA online, and they've got 31 players registered, and they're all of, you know, some really decent quality in there.
Mm.
But I know that we drew a Peel 1-1, and I wasn't playing. Peel are a great side. You know, they've got real depth to their squad, so I wouldn't write them off, but I wouldn't write us off either, or Peel, or Royals, so...
Becky, what view of the Western camp? Do you think you could maybe snatch the title this year in the
Wednesday? We'd like to hope so. Anyway, you always want to obviously aim as high as
possible. Bottled it last year, didn't you?
Spotlight. Most years. Yeah, we get so far, and I don't know what it is. It's just, it's like this FA Cup, we've never, Peel have never won it. The Floodlit Cup, we've never won it, and we've made it to the final quite a few times, and we just can never finish it off. But with the league, I think it's nice to have, instead of, because normally it's always been like Royals and Corinthians always battling out, and then the rest of the team. So it's nice to have like another team in there now to try and like stir things up a bit more. But I think, yeah, I would like to hope Peel would get there, but I think possibly Royals might come out on top. They seem to have that thing that always
knack.
Yeah, they just have the knack. No matter like where they are, they'll always manage to come back fighting strong.
What do you think, Lisa? Mighty Whites?
Well, I'd say we're a bit of the outsiders at the minute, aren't we? But I think we can still win it. You know, we just have to perform well and have a good team and have a full squad on the days that we play them. But, don't know. I think you've probably got the strongest squad.
Definitely.
This year round.
As a whole, available. Definitely. Yeah.
Wiggy might be going away, so you might be losing her.
What are you going to do without her?
So it's all right, we've not had 4 years. It's all right, we'll keep pedalling through.
Wig not FC.
Yeah. No, we've got Shannon Primrose Smith at the minute. She was brilliant.
Yeah. She was
absolutely
so
brilliant.
Us.
Like, she's so young, but she's so strong as well.
Well, we had a piece in this week of the day from Hattie.
Yeah, she's going to go on a scholarship to America next year.
Yeah, I'm so happy for her, but I'm also, it's a bit of kick in the teeth because I'm like, she's just come and joined us and she's made such an impact to the team and now she's going to be going again. But obviously so happy for her to go and do what she needs to do and the experience will be brilliant.
I love it when all these young girls get all these opportunities, but a lot of me thinks, you're so selfish trying to better yourself. I mean, like, you think, what's wrong with staying on the Isle of Man? You know, get a job in the spa or, you know.
It's too late for you, Jake.
I think I'm past it then.
Okay. So, Becky, do you think if you did win the title, the Floodlit Cup on Sunday, that would be sort of get rid of that hex or voodoo or whatever, and then that would kick you on again? You'd be like, all right, we've done it once now. We could maybe, that would give you the confidence for the rest of the season, say,
yeah,
and then you kick on again.
I mean, if we won it, I think we'd have to get over the bad heads on the Monday to start with before we started thinking any further. But
why only Monday?
But I think that I think it would help the girls a lot more, and knowing that we've been able to like rule out that curse that we've never been able to win, it just shows that we've won each one of them now, and then we'd be able to carry on and hopefully win more.
James, can we talk about women's football in general? Because after the Women's Super League's on BBC all the time now, and the World Cup last summer, but it's sort of propelled women's football. It's probably more popular than ever globally. Have you noticed a knock-on effect locally? Is there more people trying to play women's football? Or is it pretty much, you know, you said yourselves you're struggling for numbers in the squad. Have you not seen that filter down yet?
No, definitely not. I think we've obviously... with us over here having a lot smaller population and people being able to, especially people have that in the UK, they have that privilege of being able to play for a team and then going to uni in the UK, whereas we'll obviously get a few players who are really, really good players, like Lydia, for instance, and Chloe, and then they go to uni and then for all we know, they don't come back ever. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So there's two really good players that we lose, but I think it's always going to be the way, to be honest with you, because a lot of young girls... want to go away and go to university, or if they do get that opportunity to go and have a scholarship, they're going to do it, which you can't blame them. No. Do you know what I mean? They're not just going to stick around to play Manx football.
So what are you, obviously, of the three of you guys, you played the football the longest over here. Have you noticed any major differences? Is it, you know, is the standard increased at all, or is it more competitive? Obviously, we talk about Peel coming in and making it three strongish teams rather than the old Nobles Park / Bella Fletcher.
No, like when I first started playing when I was 14, there was two leagues.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, and it was competitive then, and then obviously, like, we won League 2, go up to League 1, and then you'd kind of get a bit of a hiding from the top teams and, you know, in the first division. But I don't know why there's, like... there seems to be still a lot of girls playing over here, but they just don't make up to the women's leagues.
But
I don't know whether it's that gap of... Because when I started, it was 14. I don't know whether, like, they play the junior football, reach a certain age and think, oh, well, I don't want to wait till I'm 16 to play and go do other things.
Well, they can
like hockey or the netball, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's actually a question we've got in to talk about later, about the age rule. And it's something we've discussed before. I think we've done podcasts when we had Kim and Alex Honor in last season, the Civil War. We talked about it, didn't we?
And because one of our colleagues did a piece on Beth Craig last week about her going on scholarship, and I think her mum was talking about this, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She wants to see that
Tracy,
age
yeah. And it's because you mentioned hockey, you can play 14, I think. And I think when we've discussed it with Simon and stuff, I think it's the welfare issue. It's not about necessarily about the physicality of the sport. It's the fact that they can't use the same changing facilities and stuff like that.
But there's no reason why they couldn't be changed when they turned up to
the game. Yeah, and that's a solution.
Do you know what I mean?
So going on to the junior football, they can play women, girls and boys can play mixed football up to, I think, 12 or 14, isn't it? I think. Yeah, and then, you say, it's that crucial 2-year gap, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beck, have you noticed any of your friends that weren't footballers, you know, prior to the World Cup or anything like sort of talking about it? Have Peel managed to attract any sort of casual footballers, I'm going to say?
I wouldn't have, not ones that have never played before. We've had a few join that probably played years and years ago, had kids, had other stuff to sort out, and then they've decided, now they've got a bit, the kids are growing up and they've got a bit more free time, they've decided to come along again. But no, we haven't recruited any new players. Just seems to be the OGs that stay. But that's not a problem, really, because, you know, experience and everything.
And Lisa, you know, obviously, as Jade said, the girls' football in the junior ranks seems to do well. And I saw, a tweet that Simon did about the Manx Youth Games last weekend, and there was 30 or 40 girls playing football at various points around the Alamann during the week. So the interest's obviously there at that level.
Yeah.
Is it all just about this age thing? Is there anything else that they could do? Could they start an under-16s league like they do in the men's
world? I don't think so. I don't think they could do an under-16s league. There wouldn't be a problem playing with under-14s. I mean, we have an 11-year-old that trains with us and she's not out of place at all.
Right.
Exactly. Like, she's fine. And they all train with us, but they can't play. So it's just a bit frustrating, really. But if they could change that, I mean, look at Jade.
Yeah.
She, how many goals did you have by the time you were 16? She's got a ridiculous amount of goals, but I definitely think they should change it.
I think it would really help the league if just by doing something so small. And it's not like it can't be done because it's been done before, and it used to be the case that it was 14. But it genuinely would, like you say, they get hit 14 and then they can play hockey, they can play netball at a more competitive level.
Yeah.
So they go and do that instead of the football, and then it's us that suffer for it, really, because our league just gets smaller and smaller. And before we know it, there's not going to be one.
No.
Yeah, this is probably the worst league I've played in. There's only, 6 teams?
Yeah, and Waxy are like,
and then
the
gap between the top three and the bottom three is massive.
Mm.
And so, like, no disrespect, but sometimes you can't bother playing them games. You have to show up.
Mm.
And it doesn't do them any good either.
When
I used to play for Colby, we used to turn up and get battered, 15-16-0, and you don't learn anything from that. And to be fair, neither does the better team playing. They don't learn anything from it, and we don't learn anything.
I mean, I don't know if
it'd
be better to split the two leagues up, or I don't know if that would make it any better or anything. But yeah, it's just a bit soul destroying, I guess, when you show up and get.
And I suppose what you were talking about, the big wings, 15-16-0, when it's that tight, the teams still have to go for it. They can't really ease off against the lower teams because it could go down to goal difference at the end of the season, isn't it?
Because we used to, when it was that and it was close between us and Royals 1 year, I'd scored 10 in one game because I was we are winning this and goal difference if it has to. Do you know what I mean? And it's
it's rubbish football as
and
well.
And if anything,
exactly. So they have changed it now, so it goes on a head to heads. So whoever the top two, if they're
tied.
Because you used to have to have a playoff, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Peel and Wales had to have a playoff for the league last year.
Yeah.
That's when they battled it.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah,
but again, same thing.
So how would you bring in, we've talked about the 14-16, how would you bring in, there's obviously, because we have a massive sporting population out of Man, so there's obviously lots of women playing sport. How would you bring in someone from another sport into football? How would you sell it to them? So we'll start with you, Becky. What did you say to them? it's great. You obviously, guys, you seem to have good fun, and obviously the national side's doing
really
well.
I'll give you a Carvery.
Yeah. Carvery in the clubhouse every
That's
Sunday.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I'd be there.
Yeah.
I don't know, really. I think it's just bringing them to training and maybe not putting on as such an intense training session. Obviously, training sessions vary, don't they? But depending on what game you have.
Mm.
If you don't have a game, most people don't. They set their training off. Well, we do anyway.
Has the business league not brought in any casual players?
The business league was good, actually. I played for the Alamann Bank at the time we won.
Yeah.
And they
just get that.
They did bring in loads. They did. Well, we had loads of people that weren't registered, or even people that used to play ages ago, and they all said they enjoyed it. Some of them are mothers and would like to play, but they wouldn't commit to it, really, because we do play on a Sunday.
Mm.
You know, people don't want to waste their time, their free time. It's not necessarily wasting, but they may feel they've got better things to do. So it has been thrown around sometimes about the thought of doing it either like in the summer, the league in the summer, or on a weeknight. Yeah. But yeah, I just don't think it's as attractive as to people who don't play as what they would have.
Especially if they play netball or hockey on a Saturday, and then they're like, well, I don't want to give up my Sunday as well, because that might be the only day of the weekend that they have with their family or their children.
Because obviously it's netball Sunday morning as well, which would be probably one of your main rivals, because I think that's the biggest women's participation sport now at the moment.
Yeah, so. Exactly. A few of them that play netball
and they go and come
on the Sunday morning
and then they'll come. All full of injuries. Like Natalie turned up with an injury on Sunday, just gone, and we're like, what are you playing netball for? We've got semi-final, ain't that?
Netball's brutal.
Yeah, it's so intense as well, isn't it? Yeah, I couldn't do that.
But yeah, so let's talk about maybe the summer idea, Jade. Would you keep it on a Sunday? Would you move it to midweek? Keep it all at the bottom, the Football League Cup?
Because if you think about it, most people train midweek anyway.
Right.
So why not play midweek? Because that means, you know, people are free.
Yeah.
I'm sure people would rather have a full weekend.
Yeah.
And give up an evening.
And give up an evening to play football. You know, and in the summer when you've got, you know, the extended nights. Because, you know, I think that would work much better than it's done then, isn't it? And I think a lot of, like, women who play netball and hockey would probably free in the week as well. You maybe want to give it a go also, and then they can do their other activities at the weekend. For me, I think it'd be great. And then I've got the weekend then to kind of do what, because I miss out on a lot of boxing things because, you know, they're like, oh, we've only got 10 this weekend, can you stay?
Yeah.
You know, so I'd much rather a weekend.
And not only that, we play the Summer League anyway, so it's non-stop, so the Summer League's designed to be a bit more relaxed to get people in. And you find yourself playing all year round.
But it's exactly the same every time.
It's the same team, players. And sometimes you do get a few extra new faces down. Mm. But why not just play the league in summer or weeknight?
We heard it here first. We fixed the problems. Summer league.
I was just going to ask hypothetically, obviously we see what FC Alamann are doing, trying to, you know, progress the men's game. Do you think in future, do you think that's possible for the women's game over here? If we get enough numbers?
I'd love that.
It would be brilliant.
Jonesy said to us he actually said to me on the bus that told us to behave, because one day, you know, eventually he'd be pushing for us to do it as well. So, you know, I would really like to see that, because...
Well, you've obviously, with the national side, you've played a lot of the clubs in the Northwest region, and you usually beat them.
Exactly.
So that'll be the opposition initially you'll be playing against. So you must think, well, we wouldn't be out of it.
Definitely. I think if you play at that level every week, everyone's only going to go up that level and step up. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, like, especially for the lads as well, some unreal players over here who deserve to be playing at that level across, do you know what I mean? Rather than like...
Well, it might, you know, you were talking before about the scholarships and university and stuff. It might give them an incentive to either stay or come back,
because
their career as a footballer could progress maybe better than it would in, say, non-league and wherever. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it was just exactly the same with the women's game, wouldn't it? And actually, probably you progress quicker because there's not as many tiers as there is in the men's league, is there?
I think the only thing for that, if we were to do that, I know the men's team, they're still going to have a team, aren't they? So when the Ireland players go, then they'll just be down a few players. But for us, it would shatter the whole...
No, but also, like, FC Alamann, but also the Alamann FA, it gives those people who would not normally get a chance to represent the Alamann another chance to step up again.
But just in regards to the league, if we did do that, and I think everyone would prefer that, I don't think there would be a Corinthians or a Royals or a Peel, or maybe, because we certainly couldn't field a team with the Ireland players that go away, but then that may benefit the league because it's more competitive, because they don't have the top players go play.
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
I mean, it just depends if they have the players or not. But
It'd probably then throw back it onto the what age can you start playing, which seems to be the crux of all. Right, we had some questions in for you guys, haven't we, Dave?
Yeah, first one's in from Jacob Jones. Question for you, Lisa. What's your earliest memory in Manx football?
Thanks, Jacob. to be honest, actually, I do know what my earliest memory is, but it's not me playing, it was my dad. And it was at Billy Goat Park, and it was like raining loads.
Shocking.
And he was running one-on-one with the keeper, passed the ball around the keeper, and it just stuck in the net. So he like belly slid and headed it in with his head, and he stood up and he was just black from top to bottom. And I just remember being so proud. That's my earliest memory.
And they've not played in a muddy pitch since.
While we've been on, I've had another question come in from Simon Nelson, the obviously the development officer, and it's something you've already alluded to, Becky, but he just asks, where does your favourite carvery on the island?
This is actually a big thing in my life. Like, it's actually ridiculous how obsessed I genuinely am with carveries. And honestly, the other week I got a phone call. I was in Newsbeat getting my lunch, and I got a phone call from the Falcon's Nest, and I'd won a carvery, and I thought, you couldn't have picked a better person to have won this carvery. But currently at the minute it's Douglas Golf Club, but I think different places are slowly catching up. Definitely.
Where did you go the other week, Dave, that you said was the rustic roast?
Phil Beeson Peel.
Is that a carvery?
Yeah, it is and it isn't. I mean, it's really nice food there, but I have to say Douglas Golf Club with Johnny McDowell doing
top
that.
Draw. The Yorkshire pudding
is hard. Is that a set plate at Philby's? Because Corby has a real problem with set plates.
I do have a problem with set plates. They're just in a different, completely different league.
You need a mound, don't you?
And I want to dish my own roasted potatoes up. I don't want this chef giving me how many I'm allowed to eat.
Well, the rustic roast is a platter for four people. So, you can just
have that myself.
Maybe a Peel win. You know, that could be the celebration.
Yeah, they'll go out and I'll go for a carvery.
A Corkish Corky's carvery's got a nice ring to it, isn't it?
That's the one.
I can see you vlogging, maybe a YouTube channel.
I love carveries. Vlog.
Next question, Dave.
Right, we've had a few in from the official Peel account.
As opposed to the unofficial Peel account.
Oh, that's true, yeah. You've all scored plenty of goals for your respective clubs and for the Isle of Man team. Does one in particular stand out and why? So we'll start with you, Jade.
Mine's got to be when we played Ireland. When was it?
2017.
Was that when we...
Yeah, when we had to equalise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we'd never beaten Ireland before. And basically, we had an absolute nightmare in our group, didn't we?
Yeah,
and
it was like, we did.
We had to win on goal. So we had to win 3-0 to get out of the group to be able to go into the semi-final.
Yeah.
And Kim scored the first one. I got the second one, but I think... me getting the 3-0 one had to be my favourite, because obviously it just meant so much, and it then enabled us to get out of the group. But yeah, that's got to be the best one.
Absolutely, that's probably my best memory in football. Yeah. Never mind even the final. Just that Ireland game
was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So goals then, which one stand out, Becky?
Oh God,
Bandor.
None of mine anyway. No, to be fair. If it was one of mine ones, it would have been in this Island Games that's just gone, at Isle of Wight. I'd never scored a goal for the Isle of Man before, and I was dropped from the team for the new Tia had come through. Mm. She's absolute beast in the middle, like she's class. And I got to go on for the last. We were 1-0 down.
It was against Hitra, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was against Hitra. Yeah. I got to go on, and within 10 minutes, I'd got my first goal for the Isle of Man. But it also meant that we equalised to go back in, and it was nice to see that my goal had caused the spirit of the team to go up again. Yeah, yeah. So that's probably my best memory for my goal.
Lisa?
Mine's not really from a significant game, but I remember I'd been out for Kieran Morgan's leave and do the night before. we had an Ireland game the next day, and I woke up to messages from Quilly, or Quilly had tried to ring me, and I'd missed pretty much kickoff. Showed up. It was against, maybe it was against Penrith or Altrincham or something. Yeah. Showed up. They were short anyway. Just quick warm up, chucked me on. I was dying. And then I think I scored the best goal of my life. I was like outside the box, outside of the foot, right in the top corner. Thanks, Quilly. And you can see that on Paul Hatton's YouTube page.
Well, you said off air that it's your birthday this weekend, isn't it? So you might go out and
My birthday is on Saturday.
Tea party.
Yeah. And so I'm going out on Friday.
Right, good planning.
I know. Yeah.
Dressed as nuns.
Oh, yeah. Well, I planned that because we might have not been in the final, but obviously we're all friends, so there's going to be Royals and Peel. But yeah, if it does get called off, hopefully I'll know by Saturday afternoon. And I can go out on Saturday.
Clearly it doesn't stop you from scoring worldies anyway.
No, absolutely not.
The other two questions I think we've covered, Dave, from Peel.
Oh, actually, yes. I think we have. I actually didn't realise that.
You're nicking the question about FC Isle of Man. And obviously, do you think options should be explored within the English or Isle of Man FA to allow girls aged 15 to play senior football? And I think we all unanimously agreed yes. Yeah. Maybe even younger, 14, to that's the case. But yeah, no, good questions from the Peel guys, which Dave nicked.
Yes, sorry guys.
Right, well, we've got you in. We'll look ahead to the men's football on Saturday afternoon, and we'll do some other bits and bobs. We're starting off in the Canada Life Premier League. Half two kickoffs now, Dave. It was still light at the end of the game on Saturday, was it?
Certainly was. So yeah, it feels like summer's on its way already.
No, it doesn't. Not with the yellow weather warning.
No, no, don't steal thunder.
From Dave Reed's weather. But we'll kick off in the Canada Life Premier League at Blackberry Lane, a pitch not known for its durability in the wet weather, but they're playing Paul Rose, Old Boys, in a game which I've said in the paper, Pulley, who are bottom, might get something out of this.
Yeah, well, Old Boys will be reeling after last week, obviously, yeah, going out of the FA Cup to Ramsey, so Pulley will be fired up, but to be honest, I think Old Boys will be too strong.
You watched them a couple of weeks ago in Stafka, you were quite impressed? Jack Townsend?
Yeah, well, obviously scored the winner. They've got some good players across the squad there. We obviously had Jamie White in on the podcast as well, and he stood out for me. Yeah, it's a good team there at Blackberry Lane, and probably there are signs of life there, but I don't see them getting anything from this one, to be honest.
Girls, I don't know how much of the men's game you see on a Saturday afternoon. It's probably your afternoon off, as you said, because obviously Sunday is when you're in action. Lisa, Old Boys Pulley 1 point so far this season.
Yeah,
it's tough.
A 3-3 draw, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ilaxi, yeah, well read. It's tough when you're down the bottom, isn't it? Everything seems to go against you. Although you probably don't know as a Corinthians player. But
don't worry, I'm United fan. Yeah. I'm down at the bottom, but
it must be hard to keep picking yourself up week in, week out to try and go out and do the business, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Brutal, really. Becky, do you think they can get anything out of a trip to Blackberry Lane on Saturday, Pulley?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I reckon they could. They'll have to play to the advantage of rabbit holes and that, pushing back a few rabbit holes on the pitch. And they might get, probably.
Jade, do you think Pulley can get anything out of this?
I think Old Boys will
have this. Old Boys win.
Old Boys will have this, yeah, definitely.
It's no one on the Dave Norton Memorial Fence this weekend.
Well, it'll happen later on in the show, don't worry.
Right, Round of the Athletics, the game I'm going to on Saturday in the Middle Earth, or Crosby as it's otherwise known. This one, Brown are only 3 points better off than Pulley in the standings, aren't they? They're one of the three teams on 4 points. Okay, Douglas Athletic, obviously, will be licking their wounds after going out to Colby in the Cup last week, second tier Colby. They'll be wanting to bounce back, but I think Brown could get something out of this.
I agree. I think Dave Roosman will have targeted this one at the start of the season. I think, I reckon they might just get a point out of it, maybe even three, but yeah, it's going to be a close game then.
Elisa, you've established you like drinking. Brown are famed for their monkey brains. Did you know that?
Is that the Outback?
Well, they do it in the Crosby.
Do they?
It travels.
Oh, right, I see.
Have you ever had one?
Yeah, I have actually, in the Outback.
Was it nice?
No.
No. but yes, they do it around. Do you think they usually do it when they've had a good win, or is it someone scores a first goal, isn't it?
Well, yeah, this is a remarkable stat.
Well, actually, I know you like a stat, Lisa. Morown played 4 home games this season, haven't scored a goal.
Right.
So, I think they'll be monkey right brains. If they get a win and score, it'll be carnage in the Crosby, won't they, on Saturday night? I don't know what the point I was going to make with this day, but it was about monkey brains initially.
Something about that,
Do you think they'll be drinking monkey brains on Saturday? Do you think Morown can get anything out of this?
Nah, I think they'll have to have a night off on Saturday.
Do you have Dafka? Douglas,
I think Dafka will win.
Okay. I'm loving this punditry from Lisa. We should put the more of these down and see how many she gets right.
There you go.
Becky, obviously, Brown, not too far away from Peel. do you think they can get anything out of this game against Dafka?
I think Dafka are going to pull it, to be honest. I think they actually have got a strong team. I remember watching them last time. Their centre-back, James Eyre, I think he's very solid. That's a little plug for him because he's actually my cousin. But I did see he was named in their team of the week. He has been playing really well every time I've gone to see anyway. So yeah, I think they'll struggle to get it passed.
Oh, fair. Good. I love that inside knowledge. Like it, Jade.
I feel sorry for Moran. I'm going to say Moran are going to win. Stop putting them down.
No goals in four. I think that's probably unheard of.
How do you not know if they're going to turn it around this weekend?
I think
after listening to this podcast, they're going to be fuming.
Well, you for say this. Apparently, the Alaman men's team were ceremoniously dumped out of the Interleague Cup in October. And Cheshire listened to the podcast prior to it because we had Frank and Chris Bass Jr. in. and they'd been very confident and saying, you know, we'll just get through this and move on. And Cheshire played it in the dressing room, and obviously Cheshire won. So there is precedent there, Jake. Yeah. So the Round Boys could have it, you know.
Nice to hear, because usually our podcast send people to sleep.
And so, Dave, are you going to go from Round, or do you
think that? I'm going to call a draw. I'm sitting on the fence.
You're sitting on the Dave Norton Memorial fence there. I don't know. Yeah, Craig Purvis will be expecting a reaction from the Pinks. I think this could be a classic 5-3 to Dafgan.
We do love a max scoreline, don't we?
Rush United versus Laxey, game Eric's going to down in the Costa del Port, Erin. Dave, now Laxey aren't hitting the straps they were in the first half of the season, but they're still obviously a decent outfit. Okay, Rushing obviously lost to Peel in the last league outing, but bounced back against Foxdale last weekend in the game you saw in the cup.
Yes, I finally went to Billy Goat Park the first time in 10 years.
So did you see the mudslide where
still
Cosy Senior living?
Yeah, there's a plaque next to it. Foxdale did well in that game. Rushing, they're just professional. Greg Norris stood out, a great little player. Obviously, it's his first season of Manx football, and the likes of Matty Lamb and other players there. It should be close. As you say, Laxey aren't quite hitting the heights. They've got a great team there, though. I think Rushing will edge it.
Yeah, I think Rushing's imperious home form will probably ensure they snare the 3 points. Lisa, do you agree?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
Becky, do you think Laxey can get anything out of this one?
No. I think we watched the Rushing Peel game a couple of weeks ago, and yeah, Rushing, they do have a strong side, to be fair, and they all seem to work really well as a team. I think all the lads, they're all like pretty much, they were all like similar year at school.
Yeah.
I remember I went to school with quite a few of them, and I think they work really well together, and I think that really benefits them as a team. So I don't think Laxey are going to do very well. Sorry.
Jade?
No, I think Rush will win, but obviously Laxey have had some good results this season as well, haven't they? Yeah. So don't write them off.
She loves them.
Yeah. Ramsey versus Corinthians, Dave, another underdog, as Jade put it, taking on Corinthians, one of the powerhouses of Manx football. Corinthians actually only won the reverse fixture 2-0, though, so those expecting a landslide might be in for a bit of a disappointment here.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously we saw Ramsey beat Old Boys last week. They'll be massively bored by that result. But Corinthians, they're in such good scoring form at the moment. And Sean Doyle's unstoppable. They've got a really good team there. So I just think they'll be too strong. But I think Ramsey will push them, though. I reckon Corinthians will edge it 2-1, maybe.
Lisa, obviously, men's team making the trip over the mountain. Are they going to make it worthwhile? Maybe a trip to Bar Logo after?
Yeah, I think Corinthians will win this one. I mean, they sometimes seem to struggle against the ones that you think they'd win convincingly, and then they do well against the bigger teams. But no, I think they'll do all right.
Okay. Yeah. Becky, do you think Ramsey can get anything out of it?
Yeah, I hope they batter them. Just give Corinthians a little taste of what they're hopefully going to get on Sunday.
Ruthless.
This is recorded.
Never live it down. Don't hit me.
JJ, ever get a chance to do any work with the men's team as well? Do you do a bit of
training? I've had the first team in, actually, in the boxing club.
Yeah. Who's the best boxer?
They're at my gym.
Sean's probably got the reach, but he's a bit gangly.
Sean wasn't there, actually. I think he scared off. But who was probably the best one? Probably Chris Cannell.
Chris Cannell was good. He's quite stocky lad, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Chris Cannell worked hard. He did really well.
Absolute rhubarb. Can't be as bad. I don't know if you were in the gym that night. I went and trained with with Stumpy and the ABC. It nearly killed me. And that was the skipping with the kids.
Probably Stewie was the worst, to be honest.
Yeah, is he?
Stewie was just moaning the whole time.
But he's moaning when he did the podcast, if we're being honest.
Yeah, like after each exercise, he was just on the floor in a heap.
But have you ever done any training with them on the football pitch?
No, not really.
You could learn a thing or two from your tactical flexibility by the sound of it.
I reckon.
Play 3 in the back or 3-3-1.
Yeah, I could try, couldn't I? Yeah. I'm sure they'd listen to me as well.
But do you think they're going to get a win on Saturday?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, they're too strong.
Douglas Royal welcomes St Mary's to Bell Fletcher on Saturday, Dave. Now, we've said it, I've been blowing the Douglas Royal's trumpet for the last few weeks, saying that the youngsters are really impressed me against Laxey the other week. Can I get anything out of St Mary's, who had to work hard to beat Ayr last week in the FA Cup, didn't they?
They did. Obviously, Ayr are a good side, but Royal have had some good performances of late. They get better as the season goes on, and I still think they'll be They'll be too good. I don't think they'll be relegated this season, but St Mary's will be too strong. The only doubt is, it's actually, I was chatting to Alex Harrison last night, it's his 30th birthday tomorrow. So I wonder whether there'll be some sore heads on Saturday. But no, I think the Saints will be too good for them.
No. St Mary's win, Lisa?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've only lost one this season, haven't they? And one draw.
Good stats.
So, yeah, they'll absolutely win this one.
Absolutely.
Romp home.
Romp home. Romp. That's it. We haven't used the word romp for a while, have we? Becky, do you think Royal could maybe spring a shot?
No, I think, like Lisa said, I think Mary's a very, very strong side. So I think they probably will. It would probably be a good game to watch, though, to be fair. But I do think Mary's would end up taking it.
Jade, obviously, is the Blair Fletcher divide probably prevents you from saying anything positive about Douglas Royal. But can they get anything out of this game against St Mary's?
Absolutely not.
We'll just leave it there.
Yeah, I think the best
JCK Division 2, 6 games in the second tier on Saturday again at 2:30 kick-off. We must stress that. Anyone turn up late or early on Saturday?
No, everyone was there.
Foxtrot. I was going to ask you, how did you get there? Because obviously you're restricted to the buses. So.
Oh, I got a lift up, I was alright. Buses are alright. And then Mets gave us a lift back. So yeah, I did alright. But I missed out on a trip to the Baltic though. I was kind of hoping to go there afterwards, but I'll go there tomorrow night.
Did you find it alright?
Yeah.
Back of the moon.
It was definitely an adventure, as I say. I've been doing this job for 10 years, and that's the first time I've ever been to Billingham Park, because it's always postponed.
No, it is. It's a rare day out to Foxdale. Apparently, the showers...
He's
just
thinking, that's my home.
Yeah. I was born and bred in Foxdale.
Explains a lot.
Foxdale. apparently, showers are some of the best in Manx football. I don't know if your dad or your brother mentioned it.
Well, when my dad was playing, the roof was falling in. We used to sit up atop
it. Was the shower probably like a bucket?
Probably. Honestly, it was rotten, that old place. But yeah, I'd imagine they're good showers. Quite new, I guess. Well, I don't know how old they are. Maybe about 6 years.
Maybe ask Aaron next time you see him. So Foxdale, Colby Davis, the game of the day, really, in Division 2. It's two of the teams jostling for promotion. Colby on top at the moment, but Foxdale are bubbling along nicely underneath, despite having played about 3 games this season.
Yeah, they've got... Colby are actually 12 points ahead of Foxdale, but, as you say, Foxdale got 5 games in hand, so it's a false position. Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game to call, this one. I might have to sit on the fence. You mentioned Colby, obviously, to beat Dafka last week. I was impressed with Foxdale against Rushen. I thought they played really well.
And it was young, didn't you say they had a lot of the 18, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They were missing a few first-team regulars. But then you had the experienced heads as well. Like Wilpen Hulrich was the best player on the pitch for them. Jay Chatwood, obviously, he's always a threat, and he was tireless up front. So, you know, I think Foxdale, they could definitely get something out of this. I'm going to go for a draw, I think.
Home win, Lisa?
Well, you know, Foxdale... They're a few points behind, but the game's in hand. I think they might be all right. I know they're missing a few players. The player of the year last year, he's not playing.
Oh, right. Ooh, who's that?
Out with concussion. I forget his name. His big fella at the back.
Sure. Big fella at the back.
Yeah, but no, I'm going to give it to Foxdale. Let's get a home win in there.
Becky, your old club Colby are doing well at the moment, top of the league. You know, they could be playing Premier League football this time next year. It's a really impressive setup down there, actually, at the station.
It is, yeah. They've got a good. That's probably one of the things I was sad about leaving when I moved to PLS. Yeah. They've got great facilities with the clubhouse and the Astro and all the pitches they have as well. Like, quite like actually returning there, even though it's only 2 minutes down the road from me.
Ballabeg.
But no, it is really nice to return there and play there because they have got brilliant facilities down there.
Do you think Man City win Saturday?
I think I'm going to sit on the fence. Yeah.
You're going to have to go with Colby, then we can have a little bit of a rival.
All right, I'll go Colby then.
Jade?
Whatever Steen says.
Up the Dale.
You'd be too young to remember the flatbed lorry. Stuff a legend that when they won the title, they had the flatbed lorry through Foxdale.
What, the JCK one?
Yeah.
I'm not too young.
Oh, yeah, when was that then?
She was driving it.
Yeah. It was about 1995, wasn't it?
Right, I'm 97. I do remember them doing that, or maybe I've just
maybe
seen a picture
just,
of. I
maybe,
think my dad might have been involved in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've.
Maybe that was just
in
a flatbed lorry.
In my brain somewhere, but maybe, yeah. But maybe I wasn't.
Big
allowed,
day in Foxdale, that one.
I've seen the pictures anyway. Actually, yeah, that's right. I've seen a picture. My brother was on the back of it.
Right, yeah.
In a United top.
Oh dear.
If I'm thinking of the right thing.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. right, Douglasford District versus Gunners Athletic. Dave, two teams at the foot of the Division 2 standings. This looks like to me it should be edged towards the home team, but can Governors pull off a bit of a shock here?
I think so. You know, they've certainly under Tony Sewell they've started scoring a lot more goals, but D&D at home, I mean, they've only had one win so far this year, and I think this is definitely one they'll have targeted. Mark Quirk's made the step up to the first team, and he's getting the goals, so yeah, I think a home win.
Jade, obviously, D&D play on Nobles Park, obviously the former home of the Mighty
Green. What a pitch.
Yeah, I was going to say, every week we say the pitch, the slope is a leveller. But yeah, it's not the best, is it?
No, absolutely not.
And would you say that the probably D&D's football would improve if they moved off it?
Yeah, of course it
would. Yeah. Can they win on Saturday though? Can they beat Governors Athletic?
It's going to be a tight one, I think.
Draw?
Yeah, I'll go for a draw.
Becky?
Yep, sit on that fence still.
Stay on the fence.
That's the one. I'll join you. Nice. We'll have a beer on this fence.
I'm going D&D.
Yeah, D&D as well.
D&D are three draws. You're not much for the Governors fans to get excited about there, is there? Michael United versus St John's, Western Derby of sorts at Bolero Road. Dave, Michael have sort of started stringing together some decent results in recent weeks, haven't they?
Yeah, but obviously the signing of Andy Glover's been a big hit for them. Becker's already banging the goals in, so they've got that considerable threat. And they seem to have tightened things up a little bit at the back. So St John's will be favourites, but this one's going to be close. I tell you, we know it's always windy up at Bolero Road, but with this storm coming in, it might be absolute hell.
Yeah,
I think it's going to end in a draw, this one.
Absolute hell. That's a horrendous. Come to Michael. Absolute hell. Becky, St John's obviously among the title favourites in JCK Division 2. This is a bit of banana skin potentially, though. Derby games seem to raise their game, don't they? And
yeah,
they'll be up for it in this one.
Defo, yeah, they'll just have to keep fighting for it, I think. But it does, yeah, like in the derbies, they're always like, yeah, proper. You don't want to lose, do you, really?
No.
You don't want to be the opposing team at all. So, yeah.
Lisa?
I'm going to go for St John's.
Nice.
Yeah. Although Pekka, unplayable, isn't he?
Yeah.
On his day.
On his day. On his day.
No, he actually is unreal. I'm surprised he went to Michael, to be fair, but yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
I'll give it to St John's.
St John's, Jade.
Could be a Manx scoreline here, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe 5-3. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be many clean sheets.
No, I'm gonna go for Michael, I think.
Yeah, Nick Hurt, Peter Dunn,
yeah,
peppering it forward
and,
for Glover.
Glover on the score sheet.
Yeah, they heard it here first. There you go. next game sees Rye Club take on Onken up at School with Gorry, Dave, the home of the Borville at half time. This to me is a close game. This to me, Onken are so hard to predict.
Yeah,
they?
I mean, you know, they lost 6-2 to Peel last week, but you know that's probably not a bad result really when you consider it. They're just, as you say, they lost 7-1 to Foxdale the week before. Too inconsistent. I think I wouldn't like to call this one. I think Youthy again, they're mid table. They've not had the season they would have liked. They've only got, I think, 9 games left of the season. So I think they've got to start picking up points if they have to stand any chance of getting in the top four. I think home advantage will play a big part. So I think Youth will win.
Lisa, I'm going to sit on the Dave Norman.
Squash legend
Dave Norton. Dave Norton Memorial Fence for this one. What are you saying about it? Are you going to go for a home win?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for actually an Onken win.
Onken,
yeah.
The mighty O's.
Yeah, we'll go with the away win.
Becky?
Onken, I have a feeling Onken's going to take it.
The Yellows.
Yeah.
Jade?
I have no idea.
No idea. Neither do me or Dave, but we're saying enough teams, sometimes they come in, so...
Yeah, do you know what? Go on the Rye Cob.
The Rye Cob, the mighty Youthy. They'll be rejoicing it over the pond if they win this on Saturday. Jim's versus Uni Mills Day. Now, Mills have slipped a little in recent weeks, haven't they? The foot has come off the accelerator.
Yeah, you watched against Corby, didn't you? They lost that.
Yeah, and then they drew with Michael, followed that up with a draw with Michael. So you could say that's at least 5 drop points, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're still sitting pretty in fourth, and they're 6 points off Corby in the top, and they've got the 2 games in hand. So again, it's that slightly false position almost, isn't it? But yeah, they'll be gutted to drop those points last week. They'll be fired up, and they'll certainly be favourites. Jim's, they've got some good players there, but I think the Millers will be too good for them.
Millers to win, Lisa?
Yeah, absolutely.
Becky?
Agreed.
Jade?
I'm there.
Short and sweet. Everyone thinks the Millers are going to win. Watch Jim's romp home now.
Yeah.
Using the romp word.
Oh, you love it, mate.
Lisa's word.
What a pitch Jim's have, though, by the way.
Would you prefer to play at Nobles Park or Jim's?
Nobles Park all day.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it's as bad as it was either, Jim.
They've done a lot of good work.
Because they move it, you know, sometimes it's next to the clubhouse and then sometimes it's head on.
Is that just to disorientate the opposition or something?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Sometimes they do it mid game.
Well, yeah.
Air United versus Malin Rans off the second tier programme on Saturday. Air United looking good. They played well against St Mary's in the Cup last week. They're a strong, strong team and should get the points in this one, shouldn't they, though?
Yeah, very strong. I mean, it was only 2-1 up until the 90th minute, I think, in that game against St Mary's. Craig Murphy got a late goal. Should also mention Josh Kelly was back in that game. He got a goal as well, didn't he?
The bearded wonder.
Yeah. But your favourite footballer, Dean Tate, got the goal for the Tangerines. He's the man to look to this weekend, isn't he? So, I think it's going to be an air win.
Lisa, obviously, unfortunately, in women's football, you don't get these long trips. You know, Malou will be packing sandwiches, probably stopping around St John's, you know, going to the Arboretum, feed the ducks, and then on the way all the way up to Andreas. But you don't get a big away day in
women's
football.
No, we don't.
Football.
I think the furthest is probably Colby, is it not?
Colby, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going for Foxdale, aren't I, anyway? Yeah, I'm going to give this one to Air.
Becky?
No idea.
No idea.
No idea. Can't say I've watched Air before or know anything really about Air.
No.
Shade?
Go on, Air.
The Tangerines, just think about the pubs. They'll be in the Grosvenor after. It's always nice, isn't it? Right, before we finish, Dave, Combi Corner?
Yeah, there's only six games took place in the two Combi Leagues last weekend. There's certainly no shortage of goals.
Never is.
Never is, mate, yeah. It's Max football, isn't it? Mm. The top three weren't in action in Combi 1, so Peel and Geordies have closed the gap a little bit with wins over Castletown and Old Boys.
Who scored for Peel?
Well, a certain Aaron Castain.
Wasted in that Combi.
He is. Alec Ikelango, Liam Knifton, Israel Dunn and Stephen Oliver also got goals for the Westerners. Geordies, well, check out a couple of these scorers. Callum Morrissey got a couple. Yeah. Joel Ibanez got a hat-trick. Ben Wasser also got three. Josh Kane got two. Lucas James and Chris Walsh also scored. Mm-hmm. A massive win there. Moran and Ramsey shared six goals in Crosby. Alex Marley, Tom Hughes and Jack Moyer scored for the hosts. Zach Hanlon, Cormac Smith and Rowan Gill scored for the Northerners. Youthy continued their remarkable running win in Combi 2, but only just as they were pushed all their way to Braddon before eventually edging the Swans 3-2. Adam Fair and Jake Wilson netted for the host, but Mark McClure got a brace and Max Sibbald scored.
How many is that out of, are they one in a row now?
16.
16 out of 16.
They are 16 points clear. They only need rough calculations, two more wins and they've got the
blue, if not the black ribbon will be on the Combi 1 title as we speak, I would suggest.
Absolutely. So, yeah. But it's close behind, that battle for second place. Braddon, they're there at the moment with 32 points ahead of D&D on goal difference. So, still some stuff to play for there. So other than that, there was also a close game at Bolero Road. Michael Edge passed Union Mills 4-3. Rob Farragher, Diego Vicente and a Jack Smith brace got the goals for the hosts. Thomas Kane, Lee Christian and Ben Evans scored for the Millers. There's a one-sided affair at Clyde Vane where Malou hammered Governors Athletic 10-1. Dave Kelly led the way with four. Brian Ring also got a couple of goals.
Ringo,
yeah, legend. Mm. Also scoring was Kean Cotton, Andy Barber and Michael Pardo for them, and Daniel Glassy.
Got the goal for Governors.
There you go.
So. Lovely name. Right, Dave reads the weather. Now, I don't know if we should do some sort of like klaxon or cowbell because there's a yellow weather warning, isn't it?
Well, you love the special effects. You can do that when you're editing this.
Okay, yeah. No, probably not.
Yeah, well, as you just said, we love a weather warning on this podcast. Andy's beside himself to learn that the storm Cara is on its way, resulting in a yellow weather warning from the Met Office. It'll be fairly dry on Friday, but a bit windy. But the fun starts on Saturday when the rain moves in. The strong gale force winds develop, which could result in coastal overtopping and possible travel disruption.
Oh, I love a bit of overtopping.
Yeah, and I'm afraid it's not much better on Sunday for the Floodlit Cup final, with more gales and severe gales, plus some heavy rain, which again could result in coastal overtopping and travel disruption. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of postponements this weekend, I think.
Do you think, I'd heard it maybe Saturday afternoon, it was coming in late on, so we might get away with it.
I don't know, it's going to be touch and go, isn't it? So, the wind's going to start tomorrow, and it's going to be about 40 miles an hour tomorrow, so...
That's quick.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be a fair...
Nearly as quick as Cork.
So, yeah, Sunday's game, attention to the threat. I wouldn't be playing the long balls at the bowl on Sunday then. No.
That's women's football.
That's what we know how to do.
Alehouse.
Short goal kicks as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope Hattie's down wearing his hat anyway.
Yeah, be away.
Okay, long gone.
Yeah. Gone. Right, before we go... a couple of bit of any other business. Tom Cowley, former Laxey youngster, and I think he was at Morecambe for a spell as well.
Yes, yeah.
He has helped Stirling University's first team to win the Bucks North Premier Division on Saturday. Wednesday, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well done to him.
With a 1-0 win over Nottingham Trent University. Tom, I think, is in his last year at the university, so it'll be interesting to see what he moves, whether he stays up in Scotland or moves to another club or elsewhere. But yeah, well done to Tom. And now Cummins, former Ayr, youthy Ramsey striker. You went round the triangle.
Yeah, everyone does.
And everyone, yeah. You add in all three, don't you? You played for one. He was named Player of the Month and got Goal of the Month for Club Marine. I think they're in the non-league structure about three or four down from the conference.
Sure, and there is video footage of this goal as well.
Yeah, it is I wouldn't say the most aesthetically pleasing of Goal of the Month, would you, Dave?
No, but it's good control by him. I'll give him that, yeah.
So. It's a lovely stadium, wherever it was. Yeah. But yeah, so that was... have a look on our Twitter, which is at Manx Footy Pod, if you want to see the goal. He took it well. He took it well for a big man, didn't he, Dave?
Good feet for a big man. There you go.
Right, before we go, 2:45, Saturday, Sunday, obscure kickoff time, but there you go, 2:45.
Enough time to get over the hangover?
Yeah, no, there absolutely will not be a hangover. I'll be staying in.
35 minutes each way, is it?
70? I hope so. It's supposed to be, but I think each ref plays a different time, to be honest. last week it was about 45 minutes each way.
It sounds like it's going to be a close game. Try not to fall out afterwards, guys.
We never do. Never do we?
And Becky's got the carvery all lined up, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
You could do it in the club out in the upstairs after, isn't it? The big table.
I don't know whether they'd be okay with that.
We'll put a word in for you.
Good lad.
Right, so good luck on Sunday, both teams. Good luck for the rest of the season. Cheers. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
No worries. And Dave, until next week.
Until next week, and hopefully we'll have better biscuits.
Yeah, it's all for now.